This AgriTalk podcast is brought to you by Acuron Corn Herbicide from Syngenta, an upgrade for growers who don't settle for average. Acuron is a restricted-use pesticide. Merry Christmas, everybody! I sure hope you were all good boys and girls and woke up this morning to exactly what you had on your Christmas list. It is a Christmas Day edition of AgriTalk.
From the studios of Farm Journal Broadcast, this is AgriTalk, agriculture's national talk show since 1994. Here's your host, Chip Flory.
Hey, good morning, everyone. Thank you for joining us on this Christmas morning. Welcome to AgriTalk. It is a wonderful, blessed morning out here, and we are spending it with family and friends, but we've got a great show lined up for you today. I had a conversation a couple of weeks ago with Pro Farmer editor Brian Grady, actually just last week, with Pro Farmer editor Brian Grady and Pro Farmer policy analyst Jim Wiesmeyer about what they thought were the big issues of 2018. You know, let's start to wrap this year up. And it's really interesting as we take a look back, not only at 2018, but at 2017, how the storylines continued from 2017 into 2018. And when everything is said and done, it looks like they're going to continue right on into 2019 as well. And we also had a conversation lined up for you today with Pete Eitenbrook from DeKalb about this 2018 growing season. I mean, what a spectacular thing it was! It was summed up by many across the Midwest as one of the toughest growing seasons they've ever experienced. Can you believe that? One of the toughest growing seasons they've ever experienced. Well, for one thing, it started in the first part of March and went to the, and for some, it's still wrapping up. So it's, it was a really tough growing season out there for us this year. And we're going to have that conversation with Pete Eitenbrook about it. Pete is with DeKalb. Right now, let's bring in, you guys are going to get to hear this guy a lot coming up here forward. It is the news guy, Davis Michelson. How are you, buddy?
Super psyched to be here, Chip. Merry Christmas, brother. How you doing?
I'm doing great. Merry Christmas to you as well. So what do you
Thank
think,
you
man?
I'm excited for the new year. It's been such an exciting year of 2018. Well, I don't know if exciting is the right word.
Well, I think
eventful? What would the word be there? lots to talk about over the last year, though. And it looks like at least the first part of this year is going to be equally fertile ground for conversation.
Oh, absolutely. No question about that. You know, Davis, when you look at the first 9-10 months of 2018, mm-hmm. it felt like we were on a news treadmill.
Yes.
Yeah. Every story that we talked about, it was basically, you know, it was trade issue. It was farm bill issue. It was so much of the same, but there were so many different developments throughout the course of the year that it just felt like we kept running, but we were getting nowhere.
Yes.
And then all
yes.
of a sudden, the end of the year, we started to make some progress, didn't we?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Funneled toward resolution on a number of issues, although if we're talking trade, obviously we're going to need to wait until later on this closer to spring before we find out if there's going to be a final resolution from the resolution to create a final resolution, which, I mean, sure, let's get excited about that, but I'm not quite ready to hang my hat on the word resolution
right.
just yet on the the China trade front.
Yeah, you can be nice, thinking though. About the resolutions that you want to make for the new year.
There you go.
You can start doing that right now. And there's a lot of things that when we look at 2019 that I think we're going to learn about. Okay,
mm-hmm.
And we'll talk about that in a little while as well. But I look back at 2018, Davis, and obviously trade is a big thing, and we're going to talk about that with Grady and Wiesmeyer here coming up in just a second. Trade's a big thing, but there are some other issues that took place in 2018 that I don't want to say that they're flying under the radar as we get into the end of the year, but this growing season, Davis, that Pete and I are going to be talking about, that thing still just blows me away. The Pro Farmer Midwest Crop Tour, third week of August, we get out there on the road, we take a look at crops in the Eastern Belt and in the Western Belt, and when we got done, we had evidence. we had evidence to support the biggest corn yield ever. We had evidence to support the biggest bean yield ever. And then we got to Labor Day, you know, just a week after crop tour, and it started to rain. And it basically rained through the first week of October.
Yeah, and then it didn't stop. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So we left a lot of bushels out there in the field this year. And in a year like this, when we've got the market facilitation program payments, leaving bushels in the field, not the thing that you want to do. There's no question about it, especially on that soybean crop when when every bushel that you left out in the field, Davis, cost you $1.65.
That's expensive quick. Yeah. And, you know, an issue that I'll be looking at, one that if you're talking about kind of under the radar but not necessarily so much so, are fertilizer prices, inputs prices.
Yes.
Got a sweet little dip out of crude oil prices, you know, here late in December. That may help us with our fuel costs, but the fertilizer could be a dictator of the acreage mix. It's getting that bad.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Last week on the Farmer Forum, we talked about that with Jed Bauer, with Ben Renchi, and with Gene Millard. We talked about that point exactly. And the fact that we didn't get a lot of field work done in the fall of 2018, and guys had their nitrogen contracts all set up. They were going to fall apply there and get things done. Well, for the first time in a long time, they read the fine print at the bottom of the contract that says, if you don't have this stuff picked up by D31, the contract is null and void.
Yep, yep. Listeners, you may know, you probably know, I'm part of a weekly fertilizer price survey.
Yep.
And for the last 5 years, 6 years or so, since I took my desk at that position, fertilizer prices have been in decline. And part of me kind of feels like, well, all right, we've been a little spoiled, especially last year. I mean, there were some terrific deals. Fall of 2017 was a terrific time to purchase your inputs. And since then, we've kind of bounced higher. And you got to wonder if some of these manufacturers aren't thinking to themselves, well, there's an opportunity here.
Oh, you know that's exactly what they're thinking. They're listening to the market chatter about more corn acres in 2019. They know exactly what their opportunity is as we look forward to the year ahead here, Davis. No doubt about it. Hey, I got to ask. What did you have on your Christmas list?
I had more airtime on my Christmas list.
Well, congratulations, buddy. Open up that – pull the bowl away from the package because you're getting it.
And then I just went ahead and preemptively asked for coal, too, which I also got. Yeah.
Did you really?
I did. And a little natural gas, too, just to keep the energy mix healthy.
You know, the guys in coal country will say amen for Davis Michelson because
you're
sure that you're a source of demand for them every year, I'm sure.
The wife and I were putting together the list for the Christmas meal.
Yeah.
And we've got 5 pounds of bacon involved in our holiday family meal. So we're doing what we can. We're trying to help the coal guys. We're trying to help the pork guys. And unfortunately, the radio listening audience is caught in the crossfire. And I'm looking forward to a little more airtime in the coming year. But
well, you know, your next little bit of airtime is coming up at the end of today's show because you're going to be back with me in segment four. We've got something very special for everybody. You got to stay tuned for that. And coming up next, that conversation with Pro Farmer editor Brian Grady and Pro Farmer policy analyst Jim Wiesmeyer. Bottom of the hour, we've got Pete Eitenbrook from DeKalb coming up. Stay tuned, everybody. We've got more AgriTalk coming your way in just a moment. Merry Christmas, everybody.
Price times 1,000 acres, carry the one.
These days, it's hard to make the math work for your soybean fields. The BASF LibertyLink system with Liberty Herbicide makes it easier. Start with a 2-plus bushel per acre yield advantage. Add in lower system input costs and more complete weed control, and you get an extra $33 or more profit potential per acre compared to Asgrow Roundup Ready to Extend soybeans. Grow smart with LibertyLink and BASF. Always read and follow label directions.
Spray nozzles are some of the smallest and most overlooked pieces of equipment on a sprayer, but they can have the biggest impact on accuracy, efficiency, and drift potential. Worn nozzles can change distribution patterns and cause under or over application, potentially impacting your bottom line. Now's a great time to replace your worn nozzles. Save 10% on John Deere spray nozzles, only available at your local John Deere dealer. Offer ends February 28th, 2019. See your participating dealer for details.
Growers face enough worries today. SDS and nematodes shouldn't be among them. Alevo seed treatment from BASF is the only product that offers effective protection against both SDS and nematodes throughout the critical growing period. Growers get amazing early season protection for stronger profit potential at harvest. So worry about weather. Don't worry about SDS or nematodes with Alevo. To find out more about Alevo and how to protect your soybeans, talk to your seed dealer or your BASF rep. Grow smart with BASF. Always read and follow label directions.
Commodity Classic is the place to boost your bottom line.
We're all in business to make money, you know, and you want to succeed at your job. You come here, you're able to take this information and become more profitable from seed to fertilizer to equipment, everything.
Join thousands of your fellow farmers at Commodity Classic, America's largest farmer-led, farmer-focused, educational, and agricultural experience. February 28th through March 2nd in Orlando. Discover more at CommodityClassic.com.
I'm joined by Steve Gomm, herbicide product lead for Syngenta. Steve, a lot of herbicides claim control of tough weeds, but what sets Acuron apart?
Good question, Chip. Acuron contains a unique active ingredient called bicyclopyrone, which no other corn herbicide has. It's very unique to Syngenta. And it complements the other three active ingredients to deliver more effective and more consistent control of the toughest weeds than any other product. While many products are labeled to control small-seeded broadleaf weeds like water hemp, Palmer amaranth, and lamb's quarters, there aren't as many that can effectively control large-seeded broadleaf weeds like giant ragweed, cocklebur, morning glory, and Russian thistle, but Acuron controls these and more. It also offers built-in burndown of weeds such as mare's tail, dandelion, ragweed, and foxtail. And if you have grass species like foxtail, barnyard grass, and fall panicum, you're going to notice a difference with Acuron because it offers better post-emergent grass controls than competitive brands. So overall, better weed control leads to better yield potential, and more bushels mean more money in your pocket, and we all know that that's critically important in today's market. So hopefully this provides your listeners with more detail on what Acuron delivers versus competitive products.
You know, this Acuron, and what is the what's the active ingredient that is unique to Acuron?
It's called bicyclopyrone.
Okay, bicyclopyrone, if that is what makes Acuron so unique that it handles all these different types of weeds, the small-seeded broadleaves, the large-seeded broadleaves, and then mare's tail, dandelion, ragweed, foxtail, that's a pretty important product and a product differentiation, isn't it?
Yeah, you bet. And when you look at the market today with the growing concern over weed resistance, it's really important that you've got an active ingredient that's going to give you the power to control all of these tough weeds that you see in corn these days.
Yeah, no question about it. Good stuff, Steve. Thank you. That is Steve Gomm with Syngenta with insights on what growers will see when they switch to Acuron.
Machinery Pete's having a huge year-end unreserved online dealer auction in conjunction with Big Iron. Items are open for bidding now and close December 27th. Go to machinerypete.com/auction. Unreserved, lien free, no buyer fees. Start bidding now.
Lovely weather for a sleigh ride together with you. And welcome back to AgriTalk, everybody. I'm your host, Chip Flory. Merry Christmas. We are getting the news and the information out there for you, and I want to bring in a couple of friends of mine. We've got Pro Farmer editor Brian Grady with us. Brian, how are you today?
I'm great, Chip.
Good, good, good. And Pro Farmer policy analyst Jim Wiesmeyer. Merry Christmas, Jim.
Merry Christmas to you, Chip.
All right. Hey, guys, you know, this is kind of weird because it was a farm bill year. It was a farm bill year. And in most times, that would be the story. But it's not even close to being the story of the year, is it, Jim?
No, it is not. Although we had some safety net features that came about as a result of the story of the year, as you well know, with the trade war with China.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Brian, I don't know if you've revealed it or not exactly what the story of the year is from Pro Farmer, but the trade issues have got to be right up there at the close to the top.
Definitely, Chip. You know, the each year Pro Farmer goes through and we pick out our story of the year, like you mentioned, and it was trade in 2017. It's trade again in 2018. And I think, you know, we didn't just want to repeat ourselves, but every single issue had multiple stories on the trade angle. And whether it was NAFTA and the reworking there, China, obviously, the big issues there, European Union, South Korea, Japan, you name it, trade was the number one issue that impacted agriculture in 2018.
You know, Brian, we tend to look at issues like this from the farm perspective only. But think about how many times agriculture has been mentioned in the New York Times, in the Wall Street Journal, in the Washington Post, the LA Times, Chicago Trib, all those big markets that normally wouldn't read anything about agriculture in an entire year, and agriculture is making a lot of headlines for the non-farm community out there in 2018, isn't it?
Definitely. And it, you know, agriculture was front and center in the negotiations of the new NAFTA, the USMCA, the dairy, obviously, with Canada, pork tariffs put in place by Mexico. Mexico and Canada's importance as our trading partners on agriculture products. And as a result, it was very much front and center in those negotiations.
Yeah. Jim. And it's got to be because, I don't know, man, when was the last time that we had a president that identified the right word, that identified so closely with agriculture?
I haven't seen one in my career here. Reagan focused on agriculture for a short time relative to the Carter embargo when he first came into office and got it lifted, but not the sustained focus that we've seen with Trump, Chip.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing. I mean, Jimmy Carter was a peanut farmer, and I don't know if he spent as much time on agriculture issues as what Trump is.
No, he had his own farm policy issues as well.
Yeah, yeah, no doubt about it. So, Brian, when you look at the farming community out there, and I, you know, maybe I don't want to start any issues around the Christmas dinner table here, okay? But when you look at farmers and you talk to a lot of them every week, their support for Trump is still there, isn't it?
Yeah, it's kind of amazing, actually. As much as he tipped over the trade apple cart and basically started from scratch here, the support does seem to be there. And the numbers, the polls, Jim would know this better than I do, but the polls do back that up. And pretty strong support. And I think that Trump, from the day he took office, said that you know, he was going to change things on the trade side of things. He has definitely done that, no doubt about that. We're still working toward getting some of those resolved, obviously. We still have to ratify the USMCA. We still have to finalize with China. So there's still a lot of ifs out there. But he has definitely pushed down that path. You know, now I think the push is on to get this stuff done so that he can make a you know, run for reelection in 2020.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Earlier this month, I was in Champaign, Illinois, then Newton, Kansas, and farmers and ranchers made clear to me that if you voted for Trump, and many of them did, you're continuing to support him. But as we move into 2019, I think the bell is ringing that we need to see further and substantial progress on a number of fronts, primarily the U.S.-China issues, Chip. And I do want to add one other thing for, you know, connecting dots. With all the focus on trade, this should be the educational level that the majority of lawmakers from both political parties need to pass the USMCA agreement sometime in 2019.
Yeah, good stuff. Good stuff, Jim. You know, I was going to ask the question. That support is still there today from the farming community. And I'm not saying that every farmer out there supports President Trump and his trade tactics and policies. I'm not saying that. I'm saying the majority do, and I believe that to be the case. I think that the agreement on USMCA bought him some time. I think the MFP, the Market Facilitation Program payments, bought him some time on the trade issues. Jim, I think his Supreme Court justice choices have bought him some time on the trade issues. But we do need to see some progress on this in 2019, or that support is going to start to fade pretty quick.
Absolutely. You know, 2 points. In the midterm elections, we saw 15 out of the top 20 producing counties for soybeans, vote for the Republican House candidate. So yeah. That doesn't show you much weakening. On the other side, for balance, if you're a Democrat or if you voted against Trump, you're increasing your animosity toward him because of the downturn in prices, the lingering issues with China, and also they're blaming Trump for this ethanol, for the waivers, Chip. I found that out in Kansas and in Illinois because of, even though it was EPA Administrator Pruitt who did it, it was on Trump's, administration. So, again, for balance, it really depends on who you voted for to begin with.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely it does. Boy, Brian, Jim just mentioned another biggie that we're going to be dealing with in early 2019, and that is the RFS. Last week we talked with Emily Score, the CEO of Growth Energy. Growth Energy is fighting it. POET is fighting it. RFA is fighting it. You get down to the state level. Renewable Fuels Association groups, they're all in there fighting these waivers and making the case, but it's still an issue that we're going to deal with in 2019, isn't it?
It is, and I think that, just taking a step back a little bit here, I think WOTUS, the rewrite of WOTUS, that was probably one that Trump thought, well, we can give farmers a little bit here and then maybe take a little bit back on the RFS side of things, and that hasn't been the case. The WOTUS stuff, while farmers welcome it, definitely, I think for many of them, the bigger issue is the RFS and the erosion of the demand base there, and that is going to be front and center definitely as we move into 2019.
Yeah, good point there. Good point. You know, we call him the master negotiator, and in some ways he's proven it, but in this one, and I think you're exactly right, he was thinking if we give on WOTUS, we can take on RFS, and I don't think anybody's going to let that fly. Guys, as you look forward into 2019, Brian, the odds on favor for story of the year in 2019 is going to be trade issues again.
Well, I think so, because like I mentioned before, we haven't finalized USMCA yet. That, yep. Anticipated that will happen. There's probably going to be a battle in Congress. We still haven't come to a trade deal with China. March 1st is the deadline there. So we'll get a definitive answer, or we should get a definitive answer by then. If not, that'll, probably be pushed down the road and be a lingering issue. So it does look like trade will remain very key to agriculture moving forward through 2019.
Yeah, Jim, do you agree?
Well, I hope the consequences, if we don't get a solution, I think your story in 2019 will be the continued decline of the financial portfolio of the farming and ranching industry, because we're already down 70% from working capital from the peak in 2012. And so this is gut check year for 2019, Chip. You're seeing it from a number of farmers and ranchers as they go in and talk cash flow loans, etc. We need higher prices. We need a successful conclusion, at least the ag, related yep. portions of the trade policy to turn this thing yep. around. I think they're connected. They are connected. Trade gotcha. And the financial outlook for agriculture.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Good stuff, gentlemen. Thank you so much. Really appreciate the time today. Merry Christmas to you guys.
Merry Christmas, Chip.
All right. That is Pro Farmer Editor Brian Grady, Pro Farmer Policy Analyst Jim Wiesmeyer. We'll be right back with more AgriTalk in a moment.
price times 1,000 acres, carry the one.
These days, it's hard to make the math work for your soybean fields. The BASF Liberty Link system with Liberty Herbicide makes it easier. Start with a 2-plus bushel per acre yield advantage. Add in lower system input costs and more complete weed control, and you get an extra $33 or more profit potential per acre compared to Asgrow Roundup Ready to Extend soybeans. Grow smart with Liberty Link and BASF. Always read and follow label directions.
It's time to get dirt rich with new Poncho Votivo 2.0 corn seed treatment. The increase in microbial activity in the soil helps get more nutrients to the plant, and you get an average 3.8 bushel per acre yield increase over the original Poncho Votivo, all with the trusted insect and nematode protection you're used to. So be dirt rich, because that's smart. Ask your seed dealer for the new Poncho Votivo 2.0 today. Grow smart with BASF. Always read and follow label directions.
Time for Markets Now with the experts from Pro Farmer.
Hey, Merry Christmas, everybody. You know, instead of talking about markets, let's talk about a price. How about a price of happiness? I know. It's Christmas Day, and if you think I'm feeling a little sentimental, well, you're darn right I am, okay? I'm not going to proclaim that I've uncovered the meaning of life or how to systematically generate happiness in your life, but I've got some ideas on how to make 2019 happier for you. Remove some stresses. And if that means, and I'm going to talk about one specific way to remove some stress. It might mean getting away from some of the bad attitudes on social media platforms like Twitter. If it means getting away from Twitter, from taking a break from some of the social media where you've got negative Nellies out there influencing the way that you feel on a daily basis, step away. Here's another one. Address one of your shortfalls. Admit it. Admit it that you're not strong at something in your risk management schemes and tackle it. Make an effort to turn one of the areas in risk management in which you struggle into something that you can rely on in the year ahead. Make a plan to make some profits. Okay. Yeah. Great, Chip, right? I hear you. But you've got to understand your break evens and put a portion of your marketings on autopilot. And that means putting some price orders in place at the elevator to make some sales when you're at profitable levels. And that also means taking opportunities when they are offered. Have a piece of the pie when the pie is passed. I know it's easier said than done, but pick one of those and start to watch the dominoes fall. Merry Christmas, everybody.
Hi, I'm Ag Day host Clinton Griffiths, and I invite you to join me each morning as we cover the nation's food system, from fields of green to orchards of orange and livestock everywhere in between. America runs on agriculture, and here at Ag Day, agriculture's what we do best. Listen as our analysts track the markets, learn about innovations in technology and sustainability, and live the country lifestyle through the eyes of rural America. Join me, Clinton Griffiths, for Ag Day, the country experience.
Save time and capitalize on market opportunities with Pro Farmer's Daily Advice Monitor. Whether on your desktop or on your phone, visit tryprofarmer.com and get a generous one-month free trial. Pro Farmer only focuses on the news that impacts the market, so you won't scroll through pages of articles to find what's really impacting your business. Plus, get full access to cash bids, charting tools, and more. Visit tryprofarmer.com right now. That's tryprofarmer.com.
You're listening to AgriTalk, 1 hour every day, just ag. It's all we do. Join the conversation.
Welcome back to AgriTalk on this Christmas Day. You know, when we think about the condition of the farm industry in the U.S. right now, it can be a little difficult to smile, to be thankful. It has been a tough go for the past few years, and it looks like some similar conditions are in store for us in the year ahead. There's no getting around that. But the one thing that we have been talking about that's taken some of the pressure off of the financials for the past 3, 4, 5 years are corn yields. Getting an extra several bushels of corn per acre, even at less than desirable prices, has helped a lot of farmers stay in business and to break even when they thought that there was no way that they'd break even when they started harvest in the fall. When they were pulling into that field, they thought there was no way that they could break even, and they did. And along comes 2018, and a lot of farmers in a lot of areas did it again. Record or near record yields in county after county, and in some areas that saw really tough growing conditions early in the 2018 season, yields might not have been a record, but they were still pretty darn good given the conditions growers faced this year. Now let's take a look back at the 2018 growing season. I had a chance to talk with Pete Eitenbrook from DeKalb last month, and I think Pete made some great observations that we can learn from for the year ahead. Let's look back at the 2018 corn crop here for just a little bit. We've got Pete Eitenbrook, brand lead for DeKalb and Asgrow. Pete,
hey,
welcome.
Thanks, Chip. Thanks for having me.
You bet. I always like to say the best way to figure out where we're going is see where we've been. And looking back at 2018, there's lots of lessons to be learned, wasn't there?
Yeah, absolutely. 18 proved to be an eventful year, right? Yeah. So in a lot of geographies, weather proved to be a challenge, whether it was challenges getting the crop in the spring, some atypical weather from a heat unit standpoint throughout the year, and then a wet harvest in a lot of areas too. So Mother Nature definitely threw us a lot of curveballs. But one thing I'll say is, as we think about DeKalb and Asgrow, you know, farmers have come to expect consistent high performance from our brands, and feel really good about what we delivered in 18.
You know, a lot of people don't mention the heat unit and the rapid accumulation that we had, but in a lot of places, October 1, that crop looked like it was November 1.
That's right. You know, one of the things that our agronomy team has really highlighted and showcased for us just over the last few weeks is that as we look across, especially in that 100-day relative maturity, we really saw weather that's more typical of about 105-day. Mm-hmm. So that certainly will have impact on how products perform.
Yeah, and in our decision-making for 2019,
you
right?
You bet. Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah, so take us through that. Step us through that decision-making process. From DeKalb's standpoint, what do you want them to look at for 2019?
Yeah, I think farmers are in a great position, and as we see the industry evolve, they're in a position they've never been in to actually monitor and quantify performance. You know, I think about tools like Climate Field View, for instance. You know, right there in the cab, farmers can get really great information about how products are performing acre by acre. So I would say embracing those type of tools is one way to do it. But we can't forget about the human resources that we have too. You know, we're very fortunate at DeKalb and Asgrow. We've got a broad dealer network, some great agronomists that live in the field. So it's really important to tap into your support network and have those conversations about what performance looks like.
Absolutely. We're talking with Pete Eitenbrook. He's the brand lead for DeKalb Asgrow. Pete, go ahead and brag up a little bit. How did they perform?
So, you know, let me showcase one piece. As we think about our DeKalb portfolio, we're pretty fortunate. 3 years ago, we launched DeKalb Disease Shield, which is a category of products within our portfolio. And over the last 3 years, we've seen about a 10-bushel advantage within that class of products. You know, they're unique in that while they bring the high performance, high-yielding genetics that people have come to expect from DeKalb, they also have protection against 5 key yield robbing diseases. So we've got protection against Goss's wilt, anthracnose stalk rot, gray leaf spot, northern corn leaf blight, and in some geographies, southern rust. So we like to think a lot about playing offense at DeKalb and Asgrow, and I think farmers like to think that way too. But it's important to think about defense sometimes too. And with DeKalb Disease Shield, you really kind of get the best of both worlds.
Okay, the Disease Shield, the first thing the guys are going to say is, I love the fact that it's got the Disease Shield traits there. But does it yield?
It yields, absolutely, yeah. So I think if you look across some of our products, especially this year where we had some challenges and Mother Nature threw us some curveballs, they're really standing out, not just against our competitors, but also even within the DeKalb portfolio, which is not easy to do.
Do you like the pipeline that's coming?
I do. So for 2019, we'll launch 30 new hybrids in the DeKalb portfolio, 5 of which will be new DeKalb Disease Shield products. As we think about the soybean side, you know, Asgrow will launch 34 new varieties. In our testing, they're bringing a 2.7 bushel advantage, which is pretty remarkable. But we know in addition to yield that agronomics matter in soybeans, and you'll see some improvements in areas like standability, IDC scores, and specifically white mold as well.
Very good. That is Pete Eitenbrook,
brand lead for DeKalb and Asgro.
Yeah, you know, Pete makes some great observations there, and it starts with the simple fact that the 2018 corn crop overcame a lot of obstacles again. And we've talked about that over the past several years, we've gotten those extra bushels per acre. Doesn't mean that the growing conditions have been perfect in the 14, 15, 16, 17, and 18 growing seasons. It's just that the combination of the genetics that we're putting out there in the field and the management practices that you guys are putting to work with those genetics are helping that corn crop to overcome some of the challenges that we face each and every year, whether it be too much water, not enough water. But it is really absolutely amazing just how well this corn crop can do. And I'm not saying that it makes it feel like corn yields are bulletproof going forward, but doggone, are we sure that maybe the genetics and the management practices that we're putting out there, I'm going to use a football term here, are doing give you a little bit of the bend but don't break defenses? You know, sure, we'll let you get into the red zone where it looks like things are good, but then we tighten up and we make sure that you don't score a touchdown. So you bend, and I think that's maybe how these corn genetics are operating out in the field when you combine it with management practices that you guys are using. Sure, there's a little bit of bend. We take the top end off of things, but there's enough defense being played with the genetics, enough defense being played with the management practices that we prevent the breakdown in corn yields out there. And at the same time, it preserves the top end. You know, if we do have that great growing season where in the words of Farm Journal agronomist Ken Ferry, corn doesn't have a bad day in that field that year, that you can blow it out the top. So it's a great combination that we've got working out there right now. Corn on October 1 looked like November 1, which is true in 2018. Doesn't mean that it was done on October 1, though, does it? Because there was still a lot of work to do to get it done. And when you think about in some areas of the Midwest that it started raining on Labor Day weekend and really didn't quit raining until the third week of October, yeah, there was a lot of work to get done to get that crop in the bin. That's when some of the monitoring and the viewing of the performance that Pete was talking about, that's when I think it is really important to continue to scout all the way through the growing season. Just because you're in the combine cab doesn't mean that you're done evaluating what that crop is doing out there. Obviously, you're getting your yield monitor results, but you're still also looking at plant health and making some of the decisions that you need to make for the year ahead based on how those plants are still standing even as the combine is rolling. The other thing that Pete said was that I think when you monitor and you view the performance of the crop, it gives you a chance to evaluate some of the tools that you are using out there. You know, I think that the tools that are available to farmers through precision ag technology, I think they're showing up in a lot of different ways. It's that plant health. It's that standability. But if you really break it down and take it to where it really matters, I mean, let's go straight to the size of that ear. And not just grain length, not just the girth, but the weight of that ear. When we think about all that you want to accomplish by varying your populations, by using multiple hybrid planting schemes in a field, by varying your fertilizer rates, by all of that, take all of that into consideration. What are you really trying to accomplish? You're really trying to grow the biggest ear that you possibly can per plant and then get the right number of plants out there. Well, of course, the right number of plants is going to help you
figure out exactly how to grow that big ear. So I think it it's obvious to me that we have embraced the tools of precision ag and that we are putting them to work out there. You know, and then finally the product development, the pace of product development, it's absolutely amazing to me. It's one of those things where, yes, we see that the seed companies are working hard to keep up with your demands. Now you need to keep up with the product offerings that they're putting out there. Stick around, everybody. Hey, Davis Michelson.
Yeah.
Hey,
standing by.
It's a very merry Christmas day. Now, when we come back, Davis, I expect you to have a few thoughts lined up. What do you got on your Christmas list?
You know, this year, actually, I made the naughty list, so...
Too bad for you.
They threw my list in the fire.
You know, maybe we'll find out what got Davis on the naughty list. That's coming up next, right here on AgriTalk.
Save time and capitalize on market opportunities with ProFarmer's Daily Advice Monitor. Whether on your desktop or on your phone, visit tryprofarmer.com and get a generous one-month free trial. ProFarmer only focuses on the news that impacts the market, so you won't scroll through pages of articles to find what's really impacting your business. Plus, get full access to cash bids, charting tools, and more. Visit tryprofarmer.com right now. That's tryprofarmer.com.
Find it now at shopfarmjournal.com. Brand new to the shop is the best of Tractor Tales, as seen each week on U.S. Farm Report. This 2-DVD set features dozens of classic machines and the collectors who bring them back to life. You'll get one DVD that's all green, the best of John Deere. The second DVD includes classics like Alice Chalmers and many more. Buy one DVD for $29.95 or buy the set for $49.95. Order today at shopfarmjournal.com or call toll-free 877-847-9599. You can find it now at shopfarmjournal.com.
First-generation farmers are a special breed. Farm Journal business editor Annalisa Laca helps these ag unicorns tell their story on a new podcast, The First Years.
It may have been hard, but there's a lot of good things that came out of it. A lot of time we spent together and our kids, I think, were better for it.
Join me each week as I chat with first-generation farmers and ranchers who have what it takes, grit and determination, to start from nothing.
The First Years with Annalisa Laca is available where you access your favorite podcasts, iTunes, Google Play, and now the new AgriTalk app.
Hi, I'm Ag Day host Clinton Griffiths, and I invite you to join me each morning as we cover the nation's food system, from fields of green to orchards of orange and livestock everywhere in between. America runs on agriculture, and here at Ag Day, agriculture's what we do best. Listen as our analysts track the markets, learn about innovations in technology and sustainability, and live the country lifestyle through the eyes of rural America. Join me, Clinton Griffiths, for Ag Day, the country experience.
Growers face enough worries today. SDS and nematodes shouldn't be among them. Alevo seed treatment from BASF is the only product that offers effective protection against both SDS and nematodes throughout the critical growing period. Growers get amazing early season protection for stronger profit potential at harvest. So worry about weather. Don't worry about SDS or nematodes with Alevo. To find out more about Alevo and how to protect your soybeans, talk to your seed dealer or your BASF rep. Grow smart with BASF. Always read and follow label directions.
Land the right drop on the right crop with the Exact Apply Nozzle Control System from John Deere. Now available as a retrofit for R4030, R4038, and R4045 sprayers, Exact Apply features individual nozzle control for precise droplet sizing and consistent application management. Now through April 30th, 2019, get $2,500 off Exact Apply retrofit kits. Some conditions and restrictions apply. See your participating U.S. John Deere dealer for details. Offer ends April 30th, 2019.
We're live on the red carpet, waiting for the next generation Credenz soybean. There he is!
Oh, Ed, look! It's Credenz Liberty Link GT27!
I know, Adna! He's got elite genetics.
You gotta love his 4 bushel per acre yield advantage.
And he's both Liberty and glyphosate herbicide tolerant.
Definitely the year's hottest performer. Ask your Credenz retailer about the new Credenz Liberty Link GT27 soybeans.
Grow smart with BASF. Always read and follow label directions.
Current price times 1,000 acres, carry the one.
These days, it's hard to make the math work for your soybean fields. The BASF Liberty Link system with Liberty Herbicide makes it easier. Start with a 2+ bushel per acre yield advantage. Add in lower system input costs and more complete weed control, and you get an extra $33 or more profit potential per acre. compared to Asgrow Roundup Ready to Extend soybeans. Grow smart with LibertyLink and BASF. Always read and follow label directions.
Machine Repeat's having a huge year-end unreserved online dealer auction in conjunction with Big Iron. Visit machinerypeat.com/auction to start bidding now. Find that piece of equipment you've been looking for. Get yourself a great deal and buy it before year-end. Go to machinerypeat.com/auction to see what's for sale. Every piece of equipment sells absolute. Items are open for bidding now and close December 27th. Go to machinerypeat.com/auction. Unreserved, lien free, no buyer fees. Start bidding now at machinerypeat.com/auction.
When you think of Palmer Amaranth, water hemp, ragweed, and mare's tail, doesn't it just make you want to give them the pounding they deserve? Now you can with Diflex Duo Herbicide. It's the post-emergence corn herbicide with two proven sites of action. So you get powerful control of the toughest weeds, built-in resistance management, and excellent crop safety. So don't just hit weeds. Pound them like never before with Diflex Duo. Learn more at DiflexDuo.us. Always read and follow label instructions.
Machine Repeat's having a huge year-end unreserved online dealer auction in conjunction with Big Iron. Items are open for bidding now and close December 27th. Go to machinerypeat.com/auction. Unreserved, lien free, no buyer fees. Start bidding now.
And welcome back to AgriTalk, everybody. I'm your host, Chip Flory. Got Davis Michelson alongside. How you doing there, man?
Standing by, brother. Standing by.
You know what, the things that Pete was talking about there with the challenges that we faced in the 2018 growing season, those are almost universal. Nobody had a clear path from start to finish in the 2018 growing season, from planting to harvest. Nobody had it this year, yet we still are working under the assumption from USDA that we've had a record national average corn yield and a record national average soybean yield, dumping all kinds of supply into the supply and demand tables. Pretty impressive.
Yeah, very impressive. And, you know, it'll be interesting to see what happens in the January reports. The December reports, whatever. And that's kind of what we expected.
Right, right. But that January report, the annual production summary, I believe it comes on January 11th. You know, the survey was done for that in the first 2 weeks of December. There was still a lot of corn and soybeans out in the field in the first 2 weeks of December. I don't know how we're going to trust. You know what we're going to have to do here?
Update the update?
We're going to have to update the update, exactly. We're probably going to have to wait until September when we get the quarterly grain stocks report before we get the final number on what the corn crop was and the bean crop.
I do like Earth, Wind, and Fire. I can't wait to bump that segment.
Love it. Love it. You know, I don't want to be talking about putting USDA NAS on the naughty list or anything like that, because
it is
a tough job.
They're doing the best they can with what they've got.
Exactly.
I wouldn't want that job.
No. And nobody wants to be on the naughty list.
No. Least of all me.
But I'm thinking that that's probably where you ended up, isn't it?
I'm afraid so. And really, if you'll indulge me, I've taken a moment and put together a list. And really what it is, I'm hoping, you know, call it a how-to of what not to do in the coming year. Because that's how I'm taking this. You know, this is the time of year when you look back. You make a list of the things maybe you'd like to improve on, the things you did well. You know, let's encourage ourselves. But I thought to myself, and Ashley, stand by. I thought to myself, what better way to communicate with rural America how I got on the naughty list than in the language of the streets? Ashley, can you roll my project?
Got a leather bound edition of this year's fonts. Bad Behavior Dictionary when I write it all out. Got a leather bound edition of this year's fonts. Bad Behavior Dictionary when I write it all out.
January 1, I started strong, but the days were short and the nights were long, and I spent too much time playing my favorite rap song. Forgot about the garbage, and I flat ignored the leaky faucet. Let the cat outside, and he brought back fleas. Let almost every call go straight to voicemail, and every time I went to the lake, I came back with a taller tail. Didn't tuck my shirt in. Let my briefs disintegrate to tatters, and every month, I got a little bit fatter. Let the aquarium water run low. Forgot to DVR wifey's show. Ate the last piece of cheesecake. Refused to roller skate. Let the seat up. Turn the heat up with the window open, and I paid to have my own oil changed.
Change your oil.
drank a bushel of Bush Light and left the cans in the yard. Missed my mother's birthday, didn't even send a card. Kicked my dirty socks under the bed and kicked the neighbor's dog, oh, but not in the head.
Got a leather-bound edition of this year's Fox. Bad Behavior Dictionary when I write it all out. Got a leather-bound edition of this year's Fox. Bad Behavior Dictionary when I write it all out.
Habitual offender, no one to blame but me. My list of negative achievements comes with the glossary. I'm sure Dewey Decimal would find it unacceptable. He'd throw the book at me, the Atlas and the Great Big Dictionary. This holiday confession is long overdue, so here's a nickel. I'm on the naughty list now.
So there you go, Chip. Straight out of the Beat Laboratory, oh, deep within my broadcast bunker.
There are lessons in there for everyone, Davis.
Yes, yes.
Merry Christmas, America, Newsman's from Davis Lament. Michelson.
Merry Christmas.
Unbelievable. Those lessons in there, there are some important things in there.
Oh, some very important things. Yes, oh, yes.
Yeah, I'm referring mostly to the Dewey Decimal thing and not the bushel of Bush Light.
Do people know about Dewey Decimal anymore?
You know, it makes you wonder, doesn't it?
And I'm not sure how that Newsman's Lament wound up in the library at the very
right.
end. But it you know, this was the train of thought. This was my life this year.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
And you're right. You know, the way things, they start fast in January, don't they?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Man. Yeah, I'm looking towards this January, and actually I'm thinking maybe I should be expanding that into about mid-February, you know? Maybe I can at least expand the part where I'm doing good at the first part.
You know, what you're talking about is how to work your way back onto the good list for Santa.
Yes.
All right?
Yes.
You can't just decide that at the start of the year, all year long,
right.
I'm going to be
right.
good. You know, for a guy like you, Davis, if you would just decide second week of February, I'm going to be good until the second week of February, that's going to get me a good start.
And until then, one Lucchese in front of the other. That's my plan. That's my plan. Pick him up and put him down, pile.
One boot in front of the other. Love it. Love it. Love it. Oh, my goodness. Oh, you got to tell me, what are you doing today?
You know, today we got the model train going. We've got you remember from back in the day. Here I go dating us again. I've got the little racetrack, the slot track race cars.
Yeah,
kind of a holiday tradition. We'll be racing slot cars. We'll be playing a little Mario Kart. We got prime rib going.
Oh, wow!
I'm pretty excited about it. What about you?
This is all good. You know, you won't believe this.
Yeah,
you won't believe this, but. The wife and I are actually spending Christmas alone together.
Oh,
does that make sense? Alone together?
How romantic, yes.
Together alone? Which is it? Alone together or together alone?
Alone together, I think, is the song. But you'll be together alone. Well,
yes.
No.
I don't know either. I think they both work.
Yeah,
but
we should ask Dewey Decimal.
Holy smokes, Davis, thank you so much for the work that you did. And,
absolutely.
I'm sorry to hear that you're on the naughty list, but at least we've got a plan now.
Yeah,
at least
we'll get
we've
her
got
next
a plan
year.
To get you off it.
We'll get her next year.
Absolutely. You know I'm looking forward to the year ahead with you, man.
It's going to be great. It's going to be great.
And, it's going to be spectacular.
I'm looking forward to it, too. Great opportunities for us, and I expect plenty for us to talk about.
I think there probably will be. Guys, we'll be back tomorrow with a live show. This has been a lot of fun today. Davis, you made it fun for us. We really appreciate it. Thanks, buddy. And we will talk to everybody tomorrow with a live show here on AgriTalk.
In farming, getting things done early has a way of setting you up for success. Like using Corvus for an early season win over weeds. Corvus keeps even the toughest weeds from gaining a foothold. Multiple sites of action deliver superior control of emerged weeds. And later, Corvus reactivates with just a half inch of rain to take out any new weeds that may have sprouted. So get an early season win against weeds with Corvus for end of season rewards. Always read and follow label instructions. Corvus is a restricted use pesticide.
Commodity Classic is the place for generations of farmers to connect.
Helps me get answers to those questions that otherwise I wouldn't have access to. You know, maybe can't get them locally. My father over here is kind of an old school farmer. And so listening to other people say it besides me helps him agree with me more.
Join thousands of your fellow farmers at Commodity Classic, America's largest farmer-led, farmer-focused, educational, and agricultural experience. February 28th through March 2nd in Orlando. Discover more at CommodityClassic.com.
Thanks to Acuron Corn Herbicide for sponsoring the AgriTalk podcast. Talk to your retailer about upgrading your weed control with Acuron. Acuron is a restricted-use pesticide.